Welcome to All Things Dairy. I'm Jim Carper, editor of Dairy Foods. Today we're talking about the best new dairy products of 2012. Joining me today is Brandon Partridge, CEO of Skyland Foods. Welcome to the program, Brandon.
Thanks, Jim.
Skyland's Ibex drinkable yogurts are functional beverages that target brain health, digestive health, and body recovery. They received an Editor's Choice Award in Dairy Foods' Best New Dairy Products of 2012 program. Brandon, tell me, how did this idea for Ibex come about?
Jim, you know, it was sort of, I've worked in and around the food industry, and particularly in the dairy category, for a number of years. And, you know, the growth of the yogurt category was something that hadn't escaped anybody's attention who'd been around the dairy world. It was clear to me that there was some opportunities there, particularly with the opportunity to integrate functional characteristics and also to pursue the drinkable format, which we really believe relative to other markets is sort of underdeveloped here in the U.S. So those would be sort of two anchors where if you just start with the premise of a drinkable yogurt with functional health benefits that we thought, you know, if well-branded and introduced in the right channel and positioned in the right way, had an opportunity to be successful.
Okay. How big is the bottle? What's the serving size?
It's an 8-ounce bottle, which we are initially selling in sort of individual bottles. We've experimented with multi-packs and whatnot. Our view is because this is a new brand and a new product, you know, we'll gain more trial through the individual bottles, and so we're pursuing that means of distribution for the time being.
Okay, sure. Who are these products popular with?
You know, we really talk about the health-conscious consumer. I mean, I think everybody in the dairy industry sort of appreciates the nutritional package that milk provides and is a basis to develop a lot of great-tasting products. We think sometimes the dairy industry is a little sort of rests on its laurels with respect to that. I mean, they sort of take for granted that calcium and protein and vitamin D and things are things that people appreciate. But oftentimes that offering, we think, is diluted by either overuse of flavorings or sweeteners or other ingredients that sort of water down the nutritional proposition of the product. And so, you know, we're targeting the natural channel for distribution, and so that consumer is looking for, you know, healthy, quality, cleaner label, and that's the sort of proposition that we've attempted to offer here.
Okay. Now tell me about these functional properties. You have four different SKUs, and each has a different functional attribute.
That's right. That was really sort of something that was really a seed that was planted at the very beginning of the process of a belief. You know, Activia has obviously done a tremendous job of educating the consumer about the benefits of probiotics for digestive health. And I think that's been, many things have sort of there's both the silver lining and the cloud. The silver lining is the work that they did to educate the consumer about the ways, the benefits that food can provide to the body beyond just satisfying hunger and basic nutrition. I think one of the sort of the gray cloud part of that, if you will, is that digestive health sort of, I think, took this sort of center stage quality in terms of the type of health benefit that's conveyed through dairy. And one of our views was, particularly given sort of the chemistry of a cultured dairy product, it's such a hospitable environment for delivering functional ingredients. And our view was that we could introduce products with different benefits and really orient the consumer towards seeking a broader variety of benefits from dairy products.
Okay. Well, now, how do you get your brain boost, for instance? How does that differ, say, from the Ibex recovery version?
Yeah. So that's a great question. We really we followed two paths, basically, in terms of the formulation of the products. And, you know, we were very aware as an early-stage sort of startup-scale company pursuing this, and I had worked enough in the food industry and in the regulatory world previously to understand the care that needs to be taken in the formulation of these products, and particularly in the language and that you use around claims and the way you talk about them. And so I had a bias, where possible, to really working with very world-class, high-end ingredient suppliers, you know, many of whom have a long history working with their ingredients, have a lot of documented, published, you know, clinical human trials that have the science to sort of back up the types of things that are possible to say. So in the case of what we call the Brain Boost product. You know, we've worked with originally MarTech, which is now part of DSM, and their Life DHA product is you know already in use within the dairy category and Horizon Milk and some other products that has a very well-established track record in terms of its benefits. It has the benefit of being algal DHA rather than the fish source DHA, and that's something that some consumers look for. And the most important thing for us was they've been a great partner from the standpoint of, you know, helping us find the right way both to formulate the product, just from technical assistance, but also from that sort of science and research expertise that they bring to say, you know, I understand generally speaking what the rules of the playing field are in terms of the way we talk about this. So based on the science that's been published, the science that's out there, you know, help us make sure we stay within the lines and provide a compelling proposition to the consumer, but do it in a way that sort of, you know, keeps everybody comfortable.
Okay.
Because, you know, I think it's one of the hazards of some functional products is this notion, and I think and companies often do a disservice to the consumer by sort of over-promising. And not only does that obviously draw FDA and other regulatory agencies' attention, it also ultimately sort of erodes a consumer confidence in a claim about a functional product. So our view was we wanted to be very authentic, very sincere. We wanted to provide a product with value and benefit and articulate that, but do it carefully and accurately.
All right.
And I would say the second path, you know, we have worked with a couple of our products are based upon proprietary functional ingredients sourced from sort of a well-established ingredient supplier. In the case of the recovery formula, that was a formula that we developed internally, sort of taking well-established science about the makeup of sort of nutrients and vitamins that were beneficial to the body and sort of a recovery in sort of a post-workout or other sort of exertion and sort of like finding one that and sort of that we could fine-tune and work and that would work in that product. And recovery is certainly, you know, that's another instance where it's not so much dairy products, but certainly awareness of dairy proteins and whey in particular is something that consumers see Muscle Milk, obviously, although it's a subject of some controversy within the dairy world, has sort of enhanced the presence of the minimum dairy proteins in that recovery product market. And our view was we didn't need to be that sort of product for sort of bodybuilders and sort of Olympic athletes, but that, you know, even everyday people who, you know, take yoga or run or engage in other physical activity want to replenish their bodies afterwards. And you know, sometimes we internally joke that the recovery product is the recovery product for the rest of us, that, you know, we don't need 30 grams of protein if you just, you know, did a 60-minute yoga class, but still something to sort of refuel the body and sort of get you through the rest of the day and enhance the benefits of the exercise.
Okay, sure. So let's talk about where you launched Ibex and what did you learn at the product launch?
Yeah, so just to put it, for the listeners, to put it in the context of where we are in the process, this was a product that we've developed over the last couple of years, both from the formulation to the branding and packaging and the whole sort of consumer-facing proposition. We're approaching distribution into the market right now, but we did introduce the products to the trade at the Natural Products Expo East in Baltimore last September. Some people were curious about our decision to do that since we weren't in the market yet. We happen to be based in Washington, D.C., and we were targeting the natural channel. So our view was that, you know, this is one of two sort of primary shows for the natural organic channel in the country each year, and this one happened to be about 60 miles from our headquarters. It seemed, you know, common sense to be there. It was a little unconventional to be there when the product's not in the market, but it was a huge benefit. You know, we were able to get, we gave away essentially about 1,600 samples in 3 days. So that's an opportunity for tremendous feedback with respect to taste, flavor, package design, even just the feedback you get when you describe the product to somebody, you can see what they respond to, and it's already in shape, informed and sort of shaped the way we talk about the product to emphasize features that maybe we didn't initially perceive to be as sort of its best attributes, but really gained a lot of interest and attention from the people we met there. And so that's been hugely valuable, and in hindsight, I actually don't know how you could launch a product without giving it to that sort of high exposure prior to launch, because it's helped us be so much more ready to sort of anticipate questions, to sort of really emphasize the things that we're most interested in. Importantly for us, not just as everyday consumers, which are also very important, but literally the buyers and the sort of the category managers who will be the gatekeepers for us to get on the shelf. And one of the things I'll say, and it was affirming, I guess it was, of course it felt good because it affirmed something we had thought in advance. You know, we often cite Honest Tea as a beverage product that has provided, sort of blazed a path that we believe we can follow in the dairy case. And if listeners, for listeners who aren't familiar with Honest Tea, it's based on the East Coast. It's now part of the Coke system. But their concept was a product that is just a tad sweet. They sweeten with sugar, but they do so at sort of moderate levels. So they created almost an intermediate level of sweetness between, you know, an unsweetened product like a water or something like that and sort of the more commercially, you know, mass commercially available other, in their case, tea products. And we believe, as I mentioned at the outset, that the nutritional proposition of dairy products and yogurt in particular is often sort of watered down with the oversweetening that occurs. And so one of the things that we focused on was sweetening with sugar, doing it lightly and moderately, enhancing the flavor, but not undermining the nutritional proposition. And there was a huge amount of interest in that. An understanding that, you know, sugar, I have an advisor who often says that 100,000 years of human history has taught us that fat, sugar, and salt all taste really good. And in this case, sugar does enhance the taste of a product, and if you do it in just the right amount, you can enhance the sensory experience of the product without undermining its nutritional offering, and that's the sort of the, where we decided to sort of kind of thread that needle and got a lot of positive feedback, particularly from the trade, about that particular aspect of the product.
Okay. I want to ask you about your packaging, too. It's really bold. It's a black label with various colors on there signifying the different SKUs. Tell me about how you approach the packaging of this product and the package design.
Yeah, that is a critical part of the brand and the whole approach. You know, our view was that, you know, essentially if you look in the dairy case, and I think, you know, fluid milk typifies this the best, you know, the rate of private label within fluid milk is very high relative to other food categories, and there's just a lack of brand competition. And I know fluid milk, people in the fluid part of the industry, you know, they sort of lament this and go back and forth about it over time, but there's just not the brand competition there to differentiate, and so then they feel they're in this sort of commodity feeling type situation. Yogurt has obviously been driven by a much higher level of brand competition, but one of the things we identified about yogurt, aside from the fact that it was heavily skewed rather toward yogurt in a cup versus drinkable products, but that the branding architecture of yogurt brands was and dairy products in general is largely weighted towards sort of an agricultural agrarian theme. So cows, farms, picket fences, green pastures, and that's of course a rational way to brand a dairy product. It emphasizes some of the most important characteristics of the product. But when everyone is doing it, or when a substantial majority of people are doing it, it just sort of undermines the power to set yourself apart from the crowd. Our approach was to say, you know, if a brand manager from another sort of leading innovative beverage company like Red Bull, or, you know, somebody who's really experienced a lot of tremendous success in the food and beverage world, were to approach the dairy category, how would they do it? We certainly had a very specific, you know, in the case I identify Red Bull, we certainly were not going to shoot for that sort of, like, you know, sort of energy component or the particular approach with respect to formulation. But they would go about it in a very different way. They would try and target a different package type, package size, color scheme, the whole brand story that really speaks to, you know, Stonyfield is obviously a very successful yogurt brand in the natural category and has even crossed over into sort of conventional, you know, supermarkets. They do have a very sort of agrarian themed sort of offering, but it's underpinned by their sort of organic proposition, and that's a huge part of what they offer. In fact, I have a colleague who said sometimes that Stonyfield is almost selling organic more than they're selling yogurt. And, you know, our view was there are consumers shopping around the store for whom yogurt is the perfect food from the standpoint of the taste, particularly in the case of a drinkable product, the convenience, the nutritional properties that it possesses. And Greek has shown us that they've brought it, you know, the Greek yogurt products have brought up a ton of new consumers to the dairy case and expanded consumption of those products. But our view was that a package that stood out from the shelf physically in terms of its aesthetic appearance, but also that had a story that really sort of dramatized the benefits of the product and the features of the product in a way that didn't just emphasize sort of the fresh produce in smaller batches. We do source from family farms. A lot of the things that people want from a dairy product, we still provide, but we don't necessarily put them out front as sort of the identifying, primary identifying characteristics of the brand. So, you know, something like an iPhone, which is sort of this tremendous design success of our age, has seemingly very little to do with a dairy product, but sort of the clean, sort of sleek features of something like that or other products, even in the food and beverage space that you might think of, that have really been sort of transcendent. You know, we really tried to take inspiration from things like that and think about what if we made a product that, looked so beautiful that people would want to be seen walking around with it. And that really drove a lot of our approach. And the selection of the Ibex as sort of a brand mascot and sort of a feature was to basically say, this is an animal with tremendous physical gifts and capabilities. And it just so happened that in certain ancient cultures, the Ibex was sort of revered for its sort of mystical properties. And we felt like that was the basis for a brand story that really spoke to our target consumer who, you know, is probably sort of a health-conscious professional who probably often has the sensation that when they make food and beverage choices, they're trading off pleasure for nutrition. Or, you know, that they're cutting corners or that what they want and what they need feel like they have to be in conflict. And what if we could propose something to the consumer that was visually stimulating, delivered a great sensory experience, but also the nutrition and health benefits that felt like they were getting something extra. And so all of that sort of fed into the approach to the package was, so it was not just a desire to do something aesthetically, but was to tie together the other elements of the brand in a way that really spoke to the consumer and sort of invited them to reach, come up to the shelf and pull that product off, because it was going to be something new that they wouldn't have seen before. And I will say, going back to our discussion of the benefits of the trade show, that was another feature which was totally affirmed by people we spoke with there. You know, even the experience of just watching people walk down the aisle, you can, you know, imagine having been at a large trade show, people kind of walk through the aisles, and just seeing people have their eyes sort of captured by these products, and they're sort of drawn over to want to ask questions and try them because it's just so different from what they're accustomed to seeing.
Right, okay. So you have the Ibex, which is related to the goat, but just to be clear, this is a cow's milk beverage, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. I mean, my experience in the dairy world is entirely based around cow's milk products. It's sort of our passion and inspiration for getting into the business. We do address those questions periodically, but, you know, the Ibex is really sort of a brand mascot and sort of an animal whose features we're trying to capture. As we said at the trade show many days, it's a great mascot, but we wouldn't want to milk one.
Very good. So you're having this co-packed, and when can we see this on the market?
Well, of course, Jim, I hope very soon. you know, where we are in the process was, as I said, we did go to the trade show before we were ready for sort of full distribution. And, of course, you get those questions like, are you in UNFI, are you in KE, or other DPI and other distributors that that serve a lot of the customers we met who were interested in carrying the product. And, of course, we hope we will be very soon. You know, we did have certain requirements from the standpoint of just, you know, technical capabilities, but also finding someone who is a good fit to work with us. You know, we, you know, one of the hazards, I think, of the dairy industry, and it's easy for me to say, you know, not being in this situation, but it is often a very, very manufacturing-driven industry, and the types of products that get made, the types of products that get introduced are essentially determined by the equipment that you have, and the idea, the desire to utilize that equipment, maximize the equipment utilization. So if a product isn't a higher volume product, it's less likely to be introduced. It took us a while to sort of find a co-packer who didn't just have the equipment we needed, but also sort of shared our vision. We believe we are on the verge of that. We've been we've sort of advanced into sort of a couple levels of discussion with a few different co-packers, and we feel like we're on the verge of sort of creating a relationship that will permit us to begin production and really introduce the products to market. So I hope within you know a couple of months, you know, we're nearby to at least people in the Mid-Atlantic region, which is our home area and where we intend to sort of focus introduction of the product, to being able to see it on the shelves, and then with some success and good fortune, you know, hopefully in other regions of the country shortly thereafter.
Great. Well, I wish you much success. Brandon,
I appreciate it.
Brandon, thanks for your time today. You've been listening to Brandon Partridge, CEO of Skyland Foods. That's it for this edition of All Things Dairy. Thanks for listening.